Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for living.
Praise the Lord. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5, verse number 7. When you got it, say amen. And then we'll look at 1 John chapter 5, verse number 4. Somebody point this way and bind that long-winded demon. Y'all ain't bound them the last four nights. I don't know what's been going on with y'all. Pray with and for me that we can do what the Lord called us to do. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 7. When you got it, say amen. How many of y'all know y'all pastor's crazy? He is a barrel of monkeys going down Niagara Falls. It's that kind of crazy. And today, stand up, sweet baby. If somewhere in this service, we're going to have to resave her. We were driving to, what road was that we were driving on? 19, and she was by us, and the pastor started to move in her lane, and honey, she got some attitude till she saw who we was. And when she... I told y'all it's some black up in here. I'm telling you, I don't care what them blonde roots suggest. It's some Shaka Zulu up in this. Lord, you may be seated. Give a good God bless you. I just wanted to embarrass you. I just want you to be real embarrassed. I like white people to turn red. Anyway, let's go to Galatians chapter number 5, verse number 7. When you got it, say amen. Pastor last night said if he had some weave, he would have shook it like a salt shaker, shook it like a salt shaker. If he had some weave. I've enjoyed myself this week more than I should have enjoyed myself. Galatians 5, verse number 7, when you got to say amen. Let's stop all that laughing and get down with the get down. You did run well, and who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Let's notice again the A clause. You did run well, but somebody hindered you that you should not obey the truth. In other words, you were doing it and doing it big, and then something happened to you that caused your relationship with God to sizzle out. And there was absolutely nothing like being in a revival like this, being in a move of God like we have been since 8:30 Sunday morning, where we've received messages and we've received tongues and interpretations and we've received exhortations from God and salutations to keep on keeping on. And there is nothing worse than losing the victory after a great revival. And that's one of the greatest heartbreaks of a leader. One of the greatest heartbreaks of an evangelist is after a great meeting, there be a great falling away or a great disconnection. One of my good friends in Atlanta is Bishop Eddie Lee Long, and I've known Bishop Long for several years, and he spoke to me and he said, Zig, my saddest moment, and I said, was your saddest moment the lawsuit that you went through? And he said, no, my saddest moment in my ministry. And he told me, he said, I knew when my ministry, something was happening where I began to go into a decline, but yet and still we had a whole bunch of people. And I felt like I had to keep performing even though I was dealing with problems and issues. He said to me that he preached his greatest sermon, and he said people ran to the altar and people were running and screaming and jumping and spinning and hollering, and it was a great move of God. And he said, wow, he preached that great sermon, and this always inspires me. He said there was a young man that he was going to marry the next week, and the young man was sitting in the balcony, and his family, after that great service, went out to dinner, and he decided to go home, only to go home to take a pistol and blow his brains out in his tub. And the young woman called Bishop Long, and they said, we need to see you. You need to come to the hospital. And he went in, and he didn't know what was going on. And he said to the woman, was weeping, sobbing uncontrollably. And Bishop Long said, what happened? And she said, my fiance killed himself. And Bishop Long said, what time did this happen? And the woman said, said, right after the morning service, right after that great hallelujah hoedown that we had, he went home and killed himself. And I want you to understand that there's some people in this revival, and you feel the euphoria of a good time. You feel the euphoria of like things are finally going to happen. Things are going to get better. But there's an ugly man in Crystal River named the devil, and he wants to destroy everything that happened this week. He wants to not only destroy, but he wants to distort. He wants to confuse. And more than anything in the world, he wants to steal the victory. Would you repeat after me? The devil wants my victory. The pastor sung a song the other night, and he said, you can't have my victory. You can't have my praise. This means war. And after this meeting, these six services from 8:30 to now, I have made a decision to live the joyful life, the victorious life, the abundant life, the prosperous life, the overcoming life. Anybody in this room understand without a shadow of a doubt that the devil wants to snap you, crack you, and break you? But I made up my mind. I'm not going back. I'm moving ahead. I'm not going to allow anything or anybody to stop me from being who God called me to be. Somebody clap your hands if you got a made up mind. Let's go to 1 John 5, verse number 4. Roger Cash, wave at me. There he is. How many revivals have you had where you thought, oh God, this is going to be the one? How many revivals have you had in your life? Have you seen and you saw people at the altar and you said, finally, it's going to change? In only some many instances, people go back to the same old, same old. 1 John 5, verse number 4. 1 John 5, verse number 4, when you got it, say amen. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, our faith. Go to the next verse. I believe the next verse is just as powerful as that one. And let's talk about who's the overcomer. 1 John 5, 5. Let's go to the next verse. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes? Now notice, sisters and brothers, that word believe is not merely a word that says, I believe this, or I believe that, or I'm persuaded of this, or persuaded of that. But that word believe there takes on a deeper context, because if you believe something, you ought to practice it. And if you don't practice what you preach, you really don't believe what you say. If you believe something, you got to believe it even to the death of it. You got to be willing to die for it. You got to be willing, no matter what anybody says, if they tease you, if they belittle you, if they make fun of you, I have decided to follow Jesus, and I am not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not going to take it back. Anybody in this room got the kind of faith that you'll praise God at Walmart, you'll praise him at Food Lion? When it comes down to praising God, you'll get the dust off the carpet and the shine off the floor praising God, because God did more for you than anybody else ever did in this world. Who can love you like God? Who can heal you like God? Who can deliver you like God? I owe him everything. He gave me the victory, and I owe him the glory. Woo! Glory to God. Let me read this verse again. Who is he that overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus, finish that, is the Son of God? That's the overcomer. The person that believes, practices, waters their faith to the capacity that they will not be moved. Am I talking to anybody in this house from Crystal River? Sisters and brothers, if you go of the result of a God encounter, which many of you have had this week, after a great encounter with God, when you get victory, you can no longer settle for defeat. When God gives you the victory, you don't settle for anything less than more than a conqueror. You don't settle for anything less than I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. When God gives you the victory, you are no longer codependent on people. You are totally dependent on God. When God gives you the victory, I'm not going to worry. I'm going to put my hand in God's hand, and I'm going to trust in the Lord with all my heart. And I'm not going to overthink it. I'm not going to overfeel it. I'm going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Who am I talking to in this house? And so, sisters and brothers, when you get victory, there's no way you can accept defeat. No way, not at all. And since Sunday morning at 8:30, we've come through another great revival here at Crystal River. We've seen people do the stinky leg for Jesus. One white girl was doing the crip walk. She gets down like Stacey Adams. It was awesome up in here. I saw people shake their doo-doo buns down. Old people were shouting. Young people were running. Bodies were laying all over the floor as people were making new and fresh commitments to the Lord. We've heard prophecies where young men received prophecies that they were going to travel the world as missionaries and bring good tidings of great joy. We've seen this woman every night this week. One of the things that I can say about this beautiful saintly woman on this front row, she's not a hypocrite. She is a true worshiper. Doesn't matter what song, what tempo, what style, what facet, she made up her mind every night this week, and perhaps when I'm not here, that she was going to worship God. And we saw it, and we've enjoyed it, and we've all praised God as we watch one another experience God. Each night was just as exciting as the other. People were being saved and slain and filled with the Holy Spirit and healed, and prophetic words were being spoken over this august body of believers. As your pastor was just speaking prophetically about seeing and receiving, something in my heart became full and overjoyed about expectation. And the thing that I believe about expectation is hope maketh not ashamed. When you believe in God and God gave you the promise, there is absolutely nothing that can stop that from happening but you. The devil can't stop it. Your haters can't stop it. The witch doctor can't stop it. Because if God is for you, who can be against you? And so while Pastor was saying, I receive it, I see it, in my spirit, I was saying, it's already done. Somebody stomp your foot and say, it's already done. Done. If you bind it on earth, God promised to bind it in heaven. If you loose it on earth, God promised to do what? Loose it in heaven. And so we've seen excitement in the air. We've seen individuals pulling in and out of the parking lot with a new smile, with new joy. Even holy laughter was in the altar last evening, where we saw women rolling on the floor laughing in the spirit. Spontaneous worship. People were singing new songs that we never heard before as the Holy Ghost gave it to him hot off the press. The musicians, with this young man, he didn't know whether he wanted to play or shout. Every other night he would play a little bit and shout a little bit. He'd get the Holy Ghost Tourette's and get the jerking and get the shouting and going back to the keyboard, and we watched him shout and we shouted and danced with him. This sanctuary literally became alive as the worship filled this place. And I've been doing this over 25 years. This is my 25th year preaching the gospel. And I've seen this over and over again. Revival after revival. General assembly, convocation, prayer meeting, intercessory prayer meeting. I've seen great Sunday morning services where literally the preacher couldn't preach, the musicians couldn't play, the drummer couldn't beat, the sound man couldn't turn it up or turn it down because he himself was laid out in the spirit. And while watching it for 25 years, Roger Cash, I thought in my mind one thing. I wish this connects. I wish this sticks. I wish that this is not a short-term victory, a short-term deliverance, a short-term moment where we got caught up in spiritual euphoria and had a proctological explosion only to go back to the same old mean, hateful, arrogant, bad attitude. There is nothing worse than somebody say they saved, but you gossip, you lie, you talk about people, you get on Facebook and write stuff about people, and then you delete it. That's nothing but a yellow bellied coward. If you're man enough to write it on Facebook, you ought to be woman enough to say it in their face. Anybody that can talk behind your back and don't say it in your face is not worth your energy. Somebody say amen. And this is what I've learned in my life, in my ministry. Generally, following revival for many people is just short-lived. And that is called creatures of the moment. And my son is a creature of the moment. My son will go in Target and have a FIT over a toy only to want it in that moment. And he'll play with it, and then it goes in the land of the toy box where it becomes another toy lost in toy box space. And I believe that for some of you, the Holy Ghost is like a toy that you played with this week only to get back home and go back to adultery, to go back to fornication, to go back to a nasty attitude, to go back to miniskirts. Some of you, your cleavage was so low last week, if you walk by, the baby start crying because he thought it was supper time. And I'm telling you, sisters and brothers, you cannot go back to being a hoochie when God gave you the Holy Ghost. If God gave you the Holy Ghost, take off that mini skirt, put on a plenty skirt, and live for Jesus. Do I have anybody in this house? That some of us, this Holy Spirit is just a toy that we're playing with from Sunday through Wednesday, and just like Michael Jackson, we go moonwalk back to the same old you. And there is no meaner person than the old you. There is no more selfish person than the old selfish you. There is no meaner Zig than the old Zig. And this revival was designed to spiritually wake up the new you and get rid of the old you. I wish I had somebody that would grab the old you by the collar. Hold that organ for a minute. Grab the old you by the collar and say, in the name of Jesus, I'm not going to let the old me take me straight to hell. Don't let the old you take you straight to hell. You got to tell the old you, I'm not going to let you mess up my destiny, mess up my future, mess up my life. Anybody in this house tonight got a made up mind? I'm not going to blow it. Look at your neighbor and say, Cletus, Look at him and say, Cletus, it ain't worth it. I'm good friends. Many of you too young to know. A fella played basketball for the University of Maryland, Lynn Bias. Anybody in here, you remember Lynn Bias? His mom is a preacher, and I've known the Bias family for years. And Lynn Bias was projected to be greater than Michael Jordan. And Lynn Bias, mama's a preacher, daddy's a preacher, whole families, sanctified, tongue-talking people. And Lynn Bias was drafted by the Boston Celtics. And that young man was celebrating being drafted by the Boston Celtics. And that evening, after being drafted, this young thug came in his room with some cocaine and said, Lynn, try this cocaine. And Lynn Bias took one puff and passed out and died, went into cardiac arrest. He had a short-lived victory. Came tonight to say no more short-term victory in Crystal River Church of God. I want you to lift up your hands and repeat after me. Say, I am on a winning streak. I declare Ronnie Reed from here all the way to December, we're going to be on a Holy Ghost winning streak. One blessing after another one. One miracle after another one. One promotion after another one. One raise after another one. One healing after another one. If I'm talking to you, give your God some praise right now. Sit down. Give somebody an elbow and say it's time for a winning streak. You know what a winning streak is? Anybody know what a winning streak is? A winning streak is when you win consecutive games one after the other. Those of you from Florida, you know what a winning streak is. I'm not talking about the Gators. Hush your mouth. The Bible said we shall tread on gators and scorpions. I'm winning some now. I'm just kidding. But a winning streak. The Miami Dolphins had a perfect season. The New England Patriots got all the way to the Super Bowl. Perfect and lost. But the Miami Dolphins had a perfect season. That means every game, I'm going somewhere, they played in, they won. What would it be like if every battle you had with the devil, ball up your fist and say, you want some more devil? Ball up your fist. Wouldn't it be good if you win the battle with your children? You win the battle with your hard-headed husband. You win the battle and get that promotion on your job. You win the battle in your prayer closet. And you wake up speaking in tongues and praising God. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you woke up shouting and praising God because the glory of the Lord was in your house? I don't know who I'm talking to. You're not going home to the same house that you came in on Sunday morning from. God is going to change the temperature in your house and in your family. Somebody shout glory to God. Ah, glory. If it's possible to have victory, why is it so short-lived? If it's possible to have it, why can't you keep it? You don't have to be unhappily married, mad to be saved. Some people are just mad to be saved. You don't have to live your life looking like you've been sucking lemons and drinking prune juice all your life. You can live the overcoming life. You can live the abundant life. And I want you to know, men in this room, you too, for $19.95. wife can make your wife happy. And wives, you can have the happiest husband in Florida. How? By truly surrendering your life to God. By truly surrendering your life to God, you open up the possibilities which are endless with God to fix everybody in your family. I want you to know, child of God, if you create a war room in your house and start repeating the promises of God to God, God will take over every demonic force in your house and drive that devil into the Gulf of Mexico. I wish I had somebody to kick the devil out of your house. Give me some, baby. Give me some. Why is it so short? And how many revivals have you had in 23 years? How many revivals, Brother Cash, did you have in your ministry? Revival after revival after revival after revival. And then the people that needed to be there didn't show up. It's sad that, let me lean forward. Let me tell y'all something about people. You have a marital seminar, and the people who have a troubled marriage don't show up. You have a financial seminar, and the brokest people in the church don't show up. You do things to help people's kids, and they don't even bring their kids, but they take them to soccer, they take them to cheerleading, they take them to Disney World, they take them to see Shamu. And people expect for you to fix in 15 minutes what they let go for 15 years. It is amazing how people think that you can fix which has been broken in their house, and they didn't say nothing about it. And they let it go. And it is because the victory was so short-lived. You and your wife holding hands on Saturday and sleeping in different rooms on Monday. The victory was so short-lived. Your kids were joking and laughing, and y'all were riding in the car, and then the spirit of offense, or somebody got mad, or something was said that somebody didn't like, and it didn't go, it was unchecked. It wasn't dealt with. And then everybody starts playing the silent treatment, and we don't talk, and we don't feel, and then it's so short-lived. I feel like Rodney King. Can't we all just get along? But so many revivals, the victory is so short-lived because we are such creatures of the moment. One minute we on, the next minute we off. One minute we on fire. The next minute we live in Antarctica on an icicle next door to a polar bear. One minute, you can't get them away from the church. They mopping the floor, they're vacuuming, they're cleaning everything in the church, and then you got to call the FBI to find out where they went. It's almost like you joined the witness protection program and just got lost, and nobody knows. Have you seen Sister Watermelon? No, nobody's seen her. I don't know about you, but I'm going to tell you something honestly. Church people can drive you insane. Please, please, Ronnie. Please, Ronnie. And the victories are so short-lived because we deal with everybody else's problem and never our own. We mind everybody else's business and never your own. Sisters and brothers, I want to share with you my conviction in 25 years of why after a great revival, there's a great falling away. When you're up high in the spirit, there's always a bunch of demons that are targeting you to pull you right back down. And that's why many people say, what's the use of going to the revival and getting caught up in the spirit, because I'm going to go back to the same old merry-go-round that takes me around and around in a circle, and my husband's not going to change, and my kids are not going to change, and I got to go to this dead-end job, and I got to go deal with these crazy people. And most folks don't even want to do it, because they know after a great revival, the devil's going to come in like a flood and slap them back lower than they were before the revival. But this time is not going to be like the last time, because God's going to open up his toolbox and give us some tools so that we can fight the good fight of faith and keep the victory. It ain't enough for you to get it. You got to walk in it. You got to live in the overflow. Is there anybody that wants to live in the overflow? Shout, I want overflow. Hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. Shout glory, hallelujah. Let's go to the word of God. And let's deal with this thing. And let's get you out of get you out of the moment. First you say you will, and then you won't. Then you say you do, and then you don't. And it seemed like I pastored all those people. First you say you want it, and then you don't. And then the victory is so short-lived. Point number one, I got just a few points that I want to share with you on why the victory is so short-lived. Number one, it is because we fail to live in complete obedience to God. We fail to live the obedient life. The blessed life is the obedient life. For obedience is the key to overflow. Whatever he tells you to do, do it, and he'll turn your water into wine. Whatever he tells you to do, just do it. Don't talk, don't say nothing. Just obey God and watch God not only open the windows, but how many of you know he will open the doors for you that no man can shut? If God does it, can't nobody stop it, can't nobody block it, and can't nobody slow it down. Somebody shout, favor ain't fair. And that's what's getting ready to happen. God's gonna do somebody a supernatural favor in this house because of your obedience. Let me work tonight, because I'm tired of people backslide. I'm tired of people. Give me. Not being in their seat. Not being in their seat. When you're out of place, you never are in the right place. The blessing always goes to somebody else because you weren't in place. I had to walk home many times when I was a teenager because I wasn't where I was supposed to be. And some of us, the places you ain't got no business going, you're going. And the place that you need to be, you're missing. And the blessing was waiting on you, but you was in the wrong place. The steps of a good man are ordered by God. And not only does God order your steps, he orders your stops. When God gives you a green light, vroom, vroom, vroom. And when God gives you a red light, stop. My son said to me the other day, we were driving, and Jaden said, Dad, you ran the red light. I said, no, I didn't. He said, yes, you did. I said, okay, I did. And he said, I'm going to call the police on you. And I looked at my baby, and I said, snitches end up in ditches. Don't you call nobody on your dad. I don't care how light-skinned you are. I will bury you. A failure to live in what? Complete obedience. And that's the biggest problem that we have with people, just doing what God told them to do. And you know what I found out, Pastor Ronnie and Brother Cash and my executive pastor? People are willing to do anything else but what God told them to do. People willing to do silly stuff. When God came to Naaman and gave Naaman the word, go dip seven times, Naaman said, not me, not in that. And the little slave girl said, Massa, what you got to lose? He said, I was willing to do something hard, but we're not willing to do something easy. In my office at my house, I got a little, I don't know what it is, what we touching, and said, that was easy. Honey, it's easier to be in love than it is to fight. Amen. Grab your wife's hand and look at it and say, I'm sorry. It don't mean matter what you did. Just tell her right now, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Whatever I did. That was easy. That was very easy. But I found out we make our own life hard by being prideful, stiff-necked. Boy, it's real quiet in here right now, Pastor. They were shouting a few minutes ago because I'm in their junk. I'm in their stuff. I'm in their business. I'm in their sauce. Obedience. It's the key to overflow, but everybody wants it, but nobody wants to do what it takes. A real successful marriage takes a lot of work. A real relationship with God takes a lot of intentional work. Do you remember this word in 1 Samuel 15, 22 through 26? You need to write that down. So the man of God gave Saul this command. And he told him in 1 Samuel 15, he said, I want you to kill all the Amalekites. Wipe them out. And Saul didn't kill all. He killed some. Listen, if God tells you to do all and you do some, you sin. Because with God, all mean all. If God said get rid of him, that don't mean just see him on the weekend. When God says get rid of it, get rid of it. I want you to look at somebody and say, I don't want to be nobody's weekend affair. I don't want to be nobody's weekend rendezvous. I don't want to be nobody's mistress. I want to be somebody's wife, somebody's husband, somebody's happily ever after. I wish I had somebody. I'm not going to settle and mess up my life over somebody's desire. And so this is where Saul messed up in this text by allowing himself to not give all, but to give some. And the scripture comes back and says, obedience is better than sacrifice. I'd rather obey God and gain than to disobey God and lose. And this is what we're dealing with. People that don't understand that obedience is not only the key to your overflow, but it is also the key to you not suffering needlessly. You know, I used to tell people, love your neighbor as you love yourself. I don't tell people that anymore. You know why? Because half the people in the church really don't love themselves. When people smoke cocaine, they don't really love themselves. And cut up their body and mess up their lives. And you telling me, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Some folks are just toe up from the flow up like I was. And how many of you didn't love your depressed self? You didn't love your mixed up self. But God looked beyond all of your faults and blessed you in spite of you and made something new out of you. Now you owe God. How many of you feel like I owe God because he did something in my life called redemption? Let's go to the next one. Obedience. Has the Lord, let me, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he's rejected you. How many of you honestly don't want God to reject you? Because you got this Burger King Holy Ghost where you have it your way, do it your way. Can't nobody tell you nothing. You don't want to be accountable or responsible. You just want to float. Ooh, woo. It's quiet in this church. Number one, the victory is so short-lived is because people don't want to do what God told them to do. And people feel like Ronnie Reed puts on his pants just like me. I don't have to listen to him. I don't have to listen to his wife. Well, you need another church. Either God gonna use you or the devil's gonna abuse you. And how many of you don't want the devil to use you, to use your children, to have dominion in your life, in your mind, with your children? Woo, woo. My mom told me when I was a kid, when I was your age, my mama told me, if I'm saved, you saved. And I said, no, mama. She said, yes, you are. If I'm saved, you saved. If I cuss, you cuss. If I drink, you drink. If I act a fool, you can act a fool. But if you embarrass me wherever you are, I'm going to come in there, take my wig off, take these nails off, and I'm going to wear your can out. Number one, what was the point number one, Jill? What's point? Fail to live in complete obedience. Point number two, I'm going to tell you, these failures are so consequential. So many people mess up because they can't follow instructions. And one of the things I found out, Brother Ron Reed, is when all else fails, read the instructions. Just read them. They'll tell you exactly where to put stuff. Here a little, there a little, precept upon precept, and line upon line. Point number two, a failure to be properly dressed. And I believe that many of our people, according to Ephesians 6 and 10, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the what? Power of his might. And then he tells us how to dress. Put on the what? The whole armor of God. And one of the greatest difficulties that we have is for people not to be properly dressed. When you see the popo, that's the popo. When you see the doctor, he got on a white coat. When you see a thug rapper, he ain't got no shirt on at all. And a big old gold chain, you know who that is. When you see Nicki Minaj, you already know. You already know. The only army that doesn't have on any armor is God's people. And one of the things that we need to properly put on is love. And we need to be clothed in humility. When we go to many restaurants, I see it. I've been with Pastor Reed this week, and I look for a sign where it says, no shirt, no service. And basically, they're telling you, we don't want you coming in here all kind of way. And sisters and brothers, understand this and get this in your mind, that when we fail to be properly dressed, the enemy that is shooting at us hits us in our most vulnerable open spots and places. And if your mind's not covered and your heart's not covered and your spirit's not covered, you will get hit. Am I helping anybody in this house that understands the power of being properly dressed with the whole armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, your feet prepared to preach the gospel, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God? I'm telling you, child of God, when you are properly dressed, the devil can't do nothing with a child of God that's got on the armor of God. And our weapons are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. Somebody help me shout in this house. I got to work tonight. This is a work night, because I see it all the time. People leave a great revival, but their mind's not covered. Their heart's not protected by the breastplate of righteousness. They don't leave with a sword. Everybody that's saved, well, I believe this wholeheartedly. If you're going to preach the word, you need to read the whole Bible. I believe that we ought to know just as much about Jesus as the Muslim knows about Muhammad. If the Muslim boy has read the Quran by 12 years old, the Christian boy ought to read the whole Bible by 12 years old. If they have a bar mitzvah for the little Jewish boy at 12 years old because he has read the whole Old Testament, then Holy Ghost filled parents ought to declare to Holy Ghost filled kids that as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, and we're not going to let no fiery dart from the devil destroy our family. Somebody lift up your hands and lift up a standard in your life. When you're not properly dressed, you're open for depression and fear and doubt and insecurity. And I came to tell you tonight, people of God, there's greatness in this church. Lift your hands if you're a great, extraordinary person with extraordinary gifts. And the best is yet to come. The half have not been told. And after this night, I'm going to be looking open, ready for any attack of the enemy. Hey, glory to Jesus. Lift your hands right there. And we put on the whole armor of God. And you know what? What's that word? Wiles. W-I-L-E-S. That word wiles means schemes. Schemes. And if you're not careful, even the very elect can be deceived. The devil is a tricky, manipulating, take the word, twist it up to beguile you, mess you up. And if you're not properly dressed, you will get shot. You will get hit. And in my ministry, I've seen people literally backslide, lose the fight, lose the faith, not being properly dressed. How many of you can say you started with people and you thought they had on the whole armor of God, and this ain't something you put on and then you go home and take it off, and then you get up the next morning and you put it on, and then at night you take it off? Honey, you got to put this thing on and keep it on every day of your life. That is the verb in this text. Put on the whole arm of God that you may withstand, because not only are you dealing with a fight in the physical, you're also dealing with things in the spirit and in your mind, imaginations. Woo! Failure to what? Properly what? A failure to what? To be properly dressed. Point number three. Let's move on. A failure to exit from them. And what else? The unclean things. Let's go to that verse in 2 Corinthians. Let's go to that verse, because this verse has, I've read this all my life. And I've read this verse with an understanding that there had to be separation. And this is difficult for people in the church that just get saved and they come out of a habit or an addiction. And they basically say, I'm going to take these tracks to the bar, and they get on the bar stool. And I'm taking these tracks to the bar, and next thing you know, the devil starts spinning you. And how many of you know the devil will spin you and spin you and spin you? And next thing you know, like I had a friend who went to witness with some people, and he said he read the scripture, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. And they were drinking, and he was drinking with them, and he was talking about the Lord. And next thing you know, every word he spoke got slower and slower and slower. And he heard his witness. And so in this text, sisters and brothers, let's consider what it says. I think this is the wrong verse. Second, what was that verse, Jill? 1 Corinthians 6 and 7? Wait a minute, let me get on back to it, because I think it's very, very vitally important that we consider. I want us to see this. 2 Corinthians 6 and 7. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate. Somebody Google that verse, because I want to put it up here, and I want us to see this, understand this from the perspective of Paul in 2 Corinthians. Google that, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate. Where, anybody found that in your phone? Come out from among them and be separate. 17. Thank you, baby doll. Who was that? Go ahead, Althea, with your badge. Let's read this verse together. Therefore, come out from among, and underline that word, them. Because there is some thems. There's some people. My dad used to love that word, the crowd. And I used to say to my father, I said, everybody doing it. And my dad said, no, they not, because we somebody and we ain't doing it. And you got to be careful with that them. Where scripture teaches here, come out from among them, ungodly. There's some people, they don't have your principles and they don't have your standards. For instance, let me share something with you. There's some things we don't in the church, and not I'm just talking about humanity's sake. Humanity. I'm not talking scriptural, but humanity think. We just don't believe in abortion in this church. That's just something we don't compromise it. We don't believe in it. We don't believe in unjust murders of any kind. Whether it's 6 months, 3 months, 9 months, and one of these presidential candidates said you can be literally 7 to 8 months and terminated. There are some people, not only do they not think like you, their mind is so in the gutter. There's some folks in this world that believe stuff, that practice stuff that would blow your mind. We don't swap wives in this church. That's just some things. I hate to talk to you like this. I really don't want to talk to you like this. But listen, these kids got cell phones, and you ain't even got to be in the room, and stuff would just come to you. When I was a kid, we had Playboy and all these, you know, y'all understand. And I remember one time they had a Playboy magazine, and they said, give it to Ziegler. And they gave me this Playboy magazine. And I took the Playboy magazine, and this is how I got introduced to lust in middle school. I was young stuff. They didn't have this internet, you know, 1-800-DIAL-DEBBIE. They didn't have that. It was just, you know, I don't know where this is coming from. It's real tense in here. Y'all got to come and work with me. Work with me. They gave me this magazine. I took it home and put it under the mattress. And my grandma and these women from my church, the Holy Ghost just led them to my mama's house. And they were going to have a prayer meeting at my mama's house. And they gave me the Miss November edition of Playboy magazine. And Miss November was just up there. And I had the magazine under the bed. And my grandma and these demon-stomping black women came to my mama house speaking in tongues. And my grandma said, the Holy Ghost said, look under every mattress in this house. They gave it to me. They gave it to me. They gave me the magazine. I took the magazine home, had the magazine under the bed, and the day, listen, when God got a calling on your life, when God got something great for you, God ain't gonna let, listen, ain't no devil in hell gonna destroy your children, your nieces, and your nephews. God's gonna do what he said he was gonna do. It doesn't matter what your kids have to go through. God always wins the battle for your children. Somebody open your mouth right now and say, the devil is a liar. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in here right now. I'm telling you, God's going to win the battle over alcohol. God's going to win the battle over pornography. God's going to win the battle over addiction. God's going to win the battle over depression. Somebody give God the best praise you got in here. Listen, my grandma, They went in my room and lifted up the mattress. Oh, God. And my grandma was like, you got to beat him. And my mom was so embarrassed, but they gave it to me. They gave it to me, Sister Cash. I hate to tell this story in front of you, but one, I walked in. And saw that magazine. I was hungry. When I saw that man, I wasn't even hungry no more. And my mom told me, I never forget it. She said, oh, you want to see naked women? She said, I ain't going to raise no rapists up in here. I ain't going to raise no freak up in here. She said, get naked. I said, what? She said, I'm going to beat you naked, Negro. I'm going to beat you up in here. And that woman beat me. I was shouting, I ain't going to do it no more, mama. I ain't going to do it no more. I ain't going to do it no more, mama. Jesus, mama. Jesus. Jesus. But they gave it to me. They gave it to me. And I was stupid enough to take it to a Holy Ghost home and put it under a mattress trying to hide it. You can't hide nothing from the Holy Ghost. You can't hide nothing. Lift up your hands as high as you can get them and say, God, I want every demon out of my family, out of my children. I don't want no spirits in my family that will mess up their lives. You know what I found out? Watch this. Come here, my son. Come here, my son. If you don't come all the way out, you'll go all the way back. When it comes down to sin, you got to come all the way out of it. You can't compromise with the devil. You can't play with the devil. You can't manipulate the devil. He knows what you like. He knows what you don't like. And he will mess your marriage, family, children. He will destroy you. But in the name of Jesus, this is going to be a long-term deliverance from fear and pornography and smut. This is what he says. Come out from among them and be what? Separate. And don't touch nasty stuff. And this is the end clause. I will receive you. Lift your hands if you want God to receive you. In other words, Althea, you remember we used to sing that song in the Church of God in Christ? What if God were unhappy with our praise? What if God, all this worshiping, all this praying, and we make God sick? Because we lukewarm, and we're faking the funk, and we're going back to the same old, and we just did this, and it was a bunch of bodily exercise. We want real holiness, not sloppy agape. And holiness is not a long dress and not cutting your hair and not, and listen, holiness is an inside job. It's when God turns the light on in your heart and shows you the stuff that you need to get rid of so that you can be more like Jesus. Is there anybody in America that wants to be more like Jesus? If you don't, watch this. If you don't come all the way out, you know what happens? It'll call you by your name. I was preaching in Alabama. And my sermon title was, Your Ex Wants You Back. And this black woman jumped up and said, you a liar. He done married another woman. I said, I'm not talking about him. If you don't come all the way out, you'll go all the way back. And guess what? The devil is like an old bad habit that wants to come back to an old house. But I want you to lift your hands and say, I know I've been changed. The angels in heaven done sandadabasandadabakasa. The angels in heaven wrote my name in the Lamb's book of life. And when you see me shouting, it's not about my car. It's not about my house. I've been redeemed by the hand of the Lord from the hand of the enemy. Let me see somebody worship that the devil tried to kill. But God lets you live to make it to the house of prayer. I want you to do this. Say it tonight. Devil, I'm not coming back.
Devil, I'm not coming back. I'm not coming back. I'm not coming back.
Say it again. Go down that aisle. He wants you back. Sit down. You know why the devil wants you back? Because you're good. The devil don't want you back because you're not good at sin. You're good at lying and manipulating folks. And you're good at that. And the devil wants you back because you're useful to him. But I want you to tell the devil, you don't owe me nothing, Satan. Anything you took, you can have it, because God promised to do a new thing in my life. And I don't know who I'm talking to, but God said all things are going to become new. You're going to get a new way of living, a new way of giving, a new way of shouting. I don't have to shout in the club. I can come to Crystal River and shout in this church like I've lost my mind. Somebody jump up 7 times and say, I got the victory. I got it. Just lift your hands and give God the fruit of your lips. Give him the best that you got. I'm trying to help you. The unholy things. The people getting shot playing Pokemon. I wish people looked for Jesus like they're looking for Pokemon. Where's Pokemon at? You better be looking for Jesus. Some glad morning when this life is over, we gonna fly away. Somebody lift up your hands and think about your past. And somebody holler, I could have died in that and went to a place called hell. I could have died in that and lived in darkness, separated from God, separated from people that love me. What profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? I want God to receive me. How about you? I don't hate homosexuals. I hate homosexuality. I don't hate murderers, rapists. I want God to save them. I want them to go to jail, but I want God to save them. Talk to me like you're human. If you don't come out, you're going back. Lay hands on somebody and start praying the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus that you're not going back to fornicating, to lying. You're not going back to adultery. Whatever you've been doing in your life, as of tonight, it is over. It is broken. It is no longer a part of your life. It's not in your DNA. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Lift up your hands and shake the chains off of your life. Hallelujah. You know what, Sherry, more folks would be delivered if they had a pastor with a backbone. And you know what, people don't want to be lied to. People want somebody to love them enough to tell them the truth. How many of y'all just want people to just lie in your face? Just lie you into heaven. You can't lie folks into heaven. If you don't come all the way out, you'll go all the way back. Lot's wife was running, and the girl said, I just won't see it. I just won't see it. Some folks got into relationships that you had no business being in the first place. And it drained you of your life, your joy, your vision, your power. And you know it's wrong. Isn't it sad? Folks come into church, marry our young, beautiful women. These fellas talking that talk and acting like they're saved and they love God. And the minute you get married, then they don't want you to go to church. And came in the church to get you. But the devil sent them in to get you out. But honey, I'd rather be single and go to heaven than to be married and go to hell with somebody that don't love my God. Listen, if you go marry one of our girls, I want you to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind. Let's go to number four. Well, that's a good scripture right there. Let's go to verse number four. A failure to redirect your walk. Look at somebody, point at him and say, you need to change the music in your car, some friends on your Facebook, because everybody that says they're your friends on Facebook are not your friends. You don't even know them people. A failure to redirect. Read that. Read it. What you got to do? Redirect your walk. Walk in the spirit, and you will not what? Fulfill the lust of the flesh. Lust bringeth forth sin. And when sin is finished, death. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is everlasting life. Anybody in this house redirected your walk? As you used to go, it ain't the same. You go there and it ain't the same. And you love being around worship. So anybody in this room, you love worship so much that you riding in your car and you can hear angels singing. I was in Starbucks the other day and this girl was just crying. And I didn't want to bother. She was crying. And I said, I saw her reading the Bible, and my curiosity got the best of me. And I walked up to her, and I sat down, and she told me her story. Let me tell you something about your story. We need to get t-shirts where people walk around with a t-shirt saying, ask me to tell you my story. Close your eyes. How many of you have an amazing story? Listen, when I think about the Lord and how he saved me, how he filled me with the whole, it makes me want to shout, but it also makes me want to tell somebody about my story. Lay hands on yourself and say, I got a story about God's amazing love, about God's amazing grace, about God's amazing power, and how he whipped the devil and gave me the victory, how he destroyed the yoke of sin and bondage in my life. That's why people can't help but praise the Lord when they come in a meeting like this. A failure to do what? I sat down and the woman just weeping in Starbucks. Weeping. And I said, what is it, honey? And she said, what her mom did. And that was bad. And then she told me what her dad did. And that was bad. And she looked at me and she said, and she didn't know who I was. I didn't know who she was. And she said, and God loved me in spite of all this. I saw this woman in Publix. And I was behind her. And I was off. I wasn't preaching. I was just buying grocery. I was buying lactate milk. And I was buying, I don't know what else it was. I was just in line. And this woman put her card in, and it declined. And she just started crying. And I was behind her. And the woman said, "Do you want me to save this? Do you have some money in the car?" And I was standing behind her. And I said, "People, cars decline, God. I just want to get this milk and go home." And the Lord said, "That's not what I would do." I took out my card and said, "Bye, give it to her." And the woman that knew me, the Publix around the corner from my house, she said, "Pastor Ziegler, how are you doing?" And the woman just said, "Sir, I don't have no food." And the woman then behind the cash register, she started crying. And I said, just give it to her. And she said, right there in the line, she said, "Pastor, will you pray for me?" And the woman behind the register looked at me and said, "Pray for a rib." I was going to take her outside. I was going to get her to a car and pray for her. And the woman, before long, I didn't know the woman. I've been knowing this woman at Publix for years. I've been living in my neighborhood 13 years. I didn't know she was spirit-filled. She got Tourette's. Woo, 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 woo. Everybody was looking. And I was like, "I didn't sign up for this. I just want some milk. I want to go home and eat some cereal. That's all I want. I didn't come here for this." Woman started crying. Holy Ghost came all over. She started worshiping God. The lady behind the cash register, she got happy. She forgot she was the cash register. And she started doing that black girl thing when you get happy. Woo! And she was walking in front of the store. Everybody else started looking around to see what was going on. And before long, other people in the line started worshiping God. When you got to walk with God, somebody's going to know that you got power with God, Almighty God. Lift your hands. It wasn't my words. It was my walk. I didn't say nothing. I was just at the right place at the right time. And the woman said, "Reverend, pray for her now." I was like, "Shut up, let me pray." But while I was there, another woman, before I could get to my car, she walked up to me and said, "Whatever happened to her, I need something. And I'm in the parking lot. Melissa calling on the phone. What are you doing? When are you getting back? Girl, we having revival in the parking lot of Publix. I wish I had somebody that was ready." Go ahead, girl. Go ahead, help me. Go ahead. Somebody stand up right now and praise the Lord. You can have revival wherever you are. Lift your hands up. Ask God to anoint your hands. Now lay it on somebody right now. And say, "No more short-term victories." No more short-term victories. Lay your hand on somebody. No more short-term victories. "I got it tonight, but I don't have it tomorrow. I got it tonight, but I'm depressed tomorrow. I got it tonight, but I'm mad tomorrow." No more merry-go-round religion. I'm telling you, God's going to redirect our walk. God's going to redirect our conversation. He's going to change our affections. And the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. We're getting ready to see the glory of the Lord come down. I feel the power of the Holy Ghost in this house. Somebody start walking by faith into your destiny. Get somebody's hand. Get somebody's hand. Start walking in place. Yeah. They want to run all over this church. Start walking. That's it. Listen, child of God. We are walking by faith and not by sight. We are walking in destiny and not in frustration. I want you right now to see your feet on the devil's head. And the more you see your feet on the devil's head, the faster I want you to walk. Start hitting that drum. Hit that organ. Open your mouth. Start walking. Start walking. Start walking. My God, woman, my God, woman, my God, woman, my God, woman, give God the praise, give God the glory, give God the glory. Yeah, yes. Listen, Pastor Ronnie, the other night, he said something. I haven't stopped dancing. He said, I don't dance for the devil anymore. I praise the Lord. My last point is a failure to quench your spiritual thirst. If you don't quench your spiritual thirst, you're not going to live in victory. Get somebody's hand next to you. And I don't care if you tear your row up, if you tear your shoes off, if you lose a track up in here. I want you on the count of three to start dancing, to start leaping, to start praising God. One, two, three, go. God, look at that woman. Look at that woman shouting there. Get the victory. My God. My God. Plant, plant, plant. Listen, you know what? Your spiritual thirst. Lift your hands and say, my spiritual thirst needs praise, needs worship, needs to give God the glory. I want you right now to obey your feet and start shouting, start leaping. That's it. My God, praise him, honey. Look at these young folk. Don't you go back. Don't you go back. Don't you go back. Don't you go backwards. Go forward. My God. Listen. Listen. I want you right now to go find somebody in this revival that's been fighting a battle the last 8 months, and I want you to declare this is not going to be a short-term victory. It's going to be long-term. You're not going to be as depressed. You're not going to be suicidal. You're not going to have that addiction to pornography, that prostitution, whatever it is that's been knocking you back, holding you back, messing you up. Get out of your seat and go find somebody. that's been struggling and say, in the name of Jesus, you're on a winning streak. Win after win. Victory after victory. Blessing after blessing. Breakthrough after breakthrough. Go grab somebody and declare victory! Victory! Get out of your seat. Ah, glory, glory. Watch this. Oh, I got a feeling everything's gonna be all right. Oh, got a feeling everything's gonna be all right. Oh, I got a feeling everything's gonna be all right. Be all right. Be all right. Be all right. Oh, 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 I got a feeling everything's gonna be all right. Oh, oh. Oh, I got a feeling everything's gonna be all right. Be all right. Be all right. Be all right. Sing it again. Lift your hands all over this church. Bring me home, son. Lift those hands. Listen to me. Why? When it don't have to be. Would you repeat after me? It doesn't have to be. Short-lived. And Pastor Ronnie, come forward. Come forward. As the past, Pastor Sherry, come forward. They've been here 23 years. It don't have to be short-term. They're on a winning streak. Jill just graduated, got a job at Target. Lauren is in college. She'll be graduating, going into the workforce. Listen to me, people of God. Watch your leaders. Watch your leaders. If they're blessed, you're blessed. I believe wholeheartedly in being connected to blessed people. It has great privileges being connected to blessed people. And I believe it is very consequential, devastating, to be connected to the wrong type of people, following the wrong crowd, listening to people who have no spiritual sense, have not slayed any giants. They've slayed giants in their life. They fought bears and lions to get where they've gotten. Come here, Pastor Cash. Come here, Pastor. Come here, Pastor. Is your wife here? Where is she? She's where? Somebody go get her out of the bathroom. Oh, I know who you are, Steve. What is wrong with you? You drive a white Armada. And you got a short, beautiful wife and beautiful daughters. I want to do something. Nobody leaving. Jill, come up here. Where's Lauren? Where's my Lauren? Where's my baby? Come on up here. Grab your mom. Listen, we're going with what we got. I want you to point your hand this way. They live in long-term victory. And I want you, Brother Cash, come stand in front of Brother Ronnie. Sister Cash, stand in front of Sister Sherry. And I want you, man of God, to lay your hands on Jill. And come here, baby. Lay your hands on Lauren's shoulder. And I want us to pray for our leaders, that their daughters will continue to be fruitful, that you would favor them, that you would bless them. We lay hands. Oh, we lay our hands on them in the name. We thank you for this great woman of God, Sherry Reed. You anointed her. You've appointed her. You've given her power. You've given her an anointing like we have never seen. We pray for the power of God to be upon them. Touch Lauren. Lay your hand on Lauren. Give her a double portion of the anointing. Lord, the ability to sing. Let it be like she's never known. Come on, pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for them. A fresh anointing on the reeds. A fresh anointing. Come on, Jill. Lay hands on your mama. In the name of Ashandanabasa. A fresh anointing from the crown of their head to the sole of their feet. Come on, church. Begin to pray. Come on, begin to pray. Come on, begin to pray. Where's John? John, you ought to be up here, son. Come on up here. Come on up here. My God, come on up here, baby. Come on up here. God bless them. God favor them. God anoint them. This is the word of the Lord. As you have been on a winning streak, as things have happened so fast, many times your head has spent at the way God favored you all. This whole church is under a blanket of favor. The focus is coming like you have never seen. Your prayers have been answered. That what you prayed for, man of God, is finally coming to fruition. This whole church is walking in new focus and new faith and new power. Now give God a shout of praise. Fresh all. If you made up your mind, Brother Ziegler, it's not going to be short-lived. Walk to this altar right now. It's not going to be short-lived. Look at the people coming. Listen to what they're saying. Break it down. Break it down. It's not going to be short-lived. It's going to be long-term. I don't know why. Listen, I'm just going to say stuff, and I want you to hear me. Tobacco addictions, whether it's snuff or cigarettes, God can deliver you from the taste of nicotine and the taste of tobacco. God can break the addiction off of you, off of your husband. Alcohol addiction, lift your hands. Right now, we bind the taste of alcohol. We bind what it does to families, the abuse that it does in families. In the name of Jesus, tonight we are declaring not war, we're declaring victory over every spirit of addiction. In the name of Jesus. And we speak victory over depression and fear and darkness and backsliding. We speak the victory over codependency, people pleasing, overthinking, overfeeling, negative energy, spirits of anger, spirits of rage, spirits of hatred, spirits of jealousy, spirits of insecurity, in the name of Jesus. Lift those hands. Bring me home. Right now, I want to hear this song. And I'm telling you, this ain't gonna be short term. I'm going to get a phone call that we went from 500 to 750. From 750 going up, up, and away. This youth group is on fire. There's a level of discipleship and a level of anointing. And I want you to have more fire than you've... Oh, shadaba, sakadaba. Hey! Come here, Steve. He's here. He's here. Fresh anointing. Fresh anointing. Fresh anointing. Fresh anointing, a fresh anointing, a fresh anointing on your family, on your receive it, Brother Cash. Receive it, Brother Cash. Receive it, Brother Cash. A fresh anointing. Lift those hands. Put those two fingers together. No more short-term victory. My God, a new spirit. A new heart, a new anointing. God, do it again. Let the fire of God come up. My God. Give me these singers. Bring me his wife. Bring me his wife. This isn't for you, it's for your children. Jesus. Bring me those singers. Come here, darling. On the praise and worship team. A fresh anointing. Bring me all the singers. Get the singers up here. Softly. Give me the singers. Shandadapa. Oh God. A fresh anointing. Come in. Anointing, a fresh anointing, a fresh anointing. There it is, there it is, there it is. Here come a wave of the anointing, wave of the anointing in this house. It's God. Come here, son. Lift your hands. Listen, get your hands up. Close your eyes. Pastor Ronnie didn't know what I was going to preach. And he said something without knowing it was going to be prophetic. He said, you got to see it. Close your eyes and see a long-term victory. Oh, there it is. You just got it. You just scream it out. You just got it. You got it. You got it. You got it. You got it. Right now, grab the person next to you and say long-term victory. Lay hands on her, Jill. Lay hands on her, Sherry. A long-term victory in your house, in your family. Long-term victory. Get ready for the anointing. Let God use you. Sing. Let God use you. Lift up your hand. Lift those hands. Long-term victory. We're not going back. We're moving ahead. We're moving forward. We're not going back. We're moving ahead. I'm here to declare to you, we're moving forward. Come on. What? Lift those hands. The past is over. Sing. those hands. Sing. He don't have much voice. Help him, y'all. Sing. Get ready for this anointing. Where are my prayer warriors? Give me my prayer warriors. Hold the music. Let the Lord use you. Lift your hands. I believe that the Holy Spirit is speaking. I want them to just let God use them. Come on, let me get some altar workers to pray for these kids. Jill, John, Jill, Lauren, get your microphone, baby. I want all of these kids to get anointed tonight. Brother Cash, we're going to pray for adults. Brother Justin, I want you to lift your hands. No more short-term victories. It's going to be long-term victory. Let God use you, son. Let God use you. Come on, let's start praying. Come on, start praying for these kids. Let him use you. Let him use you. Let him use you. Lift those hands. Come on, you start praying for your teenagers and adults. Come on, give me some more prayer warriors. Give me a shunda. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood our hearts and fill the earth. Come on, let's go.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.